every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NA, OA, CA, GA, PA, LA, SLA, SLAA, CRRRMM, PAHADRALBA, FWA, EAA, well, that was Fish World Anonymous and Empires and Allies Anonymous. And
all the Canadians, eh?
Yay. Take off, Ozer. I love that movie. Strange Brew with Bob and Doug McKenzie. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley
and Mark.
How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Excellent.
I'm a wee bit tired.
I know.
I'm a little out.
Bruce is recreating a movie. He's doing Zombieland 2 right now.
You know what?
I know.
Zombieland actually was a great movie.
I was with you most of the day today. You've been a zombie most of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, but it was because you were being of service last night.
Yeah.
I put myself out there in case someone needed some help, and they utilized it.
At 3 a.m.
At 3 a.m., yeah.
You'd make a perfect president then.
You know what? And it was one of those, and you know what? It was a friend of mine's daughter, and, you know, I have a daughter, and it's like, when this gal called me, and it's 3 a.m., can you please come and get me from a place in, you know, Diamond Bar, California? Please come and get me. I had to go. And then she needed to go to the emergency room. And she's like, you can just drop me off at the emergency room. I'm like, don't just drop you off. You know, can you imagine?
I'll slow down to 10 miles an hour.
Yeah. Kick you out the door.
Like every bad movie ever made. They dump
yeah,
the druggie.
I'm sure.
They just dump the druggie at the steps.
You know what I mean? What do you do? Yeah, I'm just going to slow down, and I'm just going to kick.
Yeah. They have cameras now.
Yeah. So I went to bed about 6:30 in the morning.
You got up at 9?
I got up about 9:15, 9:30. Okay. Well, actually, no. I think I stretched it out as long as I could. Probably about 9:35 before we started the attempts to get me up. Because I don't know about you guys. There's a difference for me from the get up, from the attempts to get up.
I have to work my butt off to get you out of bed.
I can give you a way that you could wake me up in just a few seconds every time.
Does it involve inserting her finger into a certain part of your body?
No.
That would work.
No, that...
That would work.
Yeah, that would work.
May try that.
That would work. It might... I'm not going to go there. I know you guys, where you guys are going with that. Uh-huh. I'm not going to stoop to that level, even to get ratings.
Right. So.
See, I can't even say it.
Okay.
It might involve me putting a piece of me somewhere else, so.
Okay.
Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. I missed a D.
I'm not surprised.
I meant to say it and it didn't come out. It was missing.
This first section of boozy news on this show, because we record two at a time, is all by Bruce, but I'm going to run through all of the shout-outs so that on the next show... So everybody knows who they are. We had Deborah, Phil, Sarah. Oh, no, not Sarah this week. Sorry. Sarah's on vacation. Robert, Fran.
Yeah, she doesn't care when she's on vacation.
I think that was it. I actually
shout
only
out.
Got, huh, yeah, shout out. I actually only got like a few stories this week. So
shout.
You know someone shout she's on vacation with who likes our thing and writes that he likes our things on Facebook? He likes it. Doesn't listen. And I'm like... What is the thing with like on
I don't know.
Facebook? It's like, if you're going to like it, you should actually like it.
I know somebody who likes, on one of my groups, that one of the ones I kept, that actually likes every single post.
Yeah. Maybe they just like liking things.
I think so.
They need the dislike button. Just like on YouTube, they need the dislike button, too.
I don't really care.
Then you can get yourself in trouble two kinds of ways.
Pair of open lips, the suck button.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
I actually ditched almost all my Facebook groups today because I'm starting back to work next week probably and got the choir and the convention committee and I just don't have time to do it anymore, so I ditched all my groups. I only
Shelley
kept a couple.
Shelley is active.
What? Now, why did you ditch them? I mean, because not that we'd ever want to post anything in any of those groups, but why would...
No, about half of me wouldn't want to post anything in them, but...
Oh, I want to post
I had, like, 35 everything. Groups, and I'm like, what's the point? It just streamlines my page if I get rid of all those groups. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Because then I don't have posts from a bunch of groups on my newsfeed that I'm not in.
Yeah, just post. That's take your meds.
You know, the way I avoid that is I don't spend all my time on my newsfeed page. I just go to my profile.
Oh,
then I don't get anything from the newsfeed.
You know how I streamline that?
You
not
don't
being
even
on Facebook.
Have one.
That's it.
All right. So anyway,
you could try that though. Try just not going to your newsfeed page, and it doesn't matter how many people post in there. Then you can
What's the point of being on Facebook really if you're not going to watch what everybody else is posting?
For me, it's promoting the show.
You guys are all just loving this right now.
I don't know if you ever want to help do promoting
Mark's
the show.
Mark's over there grumbling at us.
I don't know if you ever want to help promote the show, but, you know,
that
that's
doesn't
what
require
I do
me to be on my profile page the whole time I'm on Facebook.
Isn't this great? This is so interesting right now.
No, that would require you be in groups that you could post to.
Yes, I'm looking for a fork to stick in my neck also.
That would send that out to all of those pages.
I'm going to have to go through and like turn up all of Mark's grumbles. All right,
time is a Bruce.
I don't think you'll have to. I already did that.
You already did that. Okay, I lost track. It was so long ago.
All right, let's,
I've been
let's
waiting for
on.
Her to do the news, but it just hasn't happened.
Hello, you've been conversing with me about the Facebook thing.
Well, that's the news.
No, it's not.
Shelly,
okay.
Are you news?
So where is the news? I went and got it all.
In Miami.
Florida! There's a lot of Floridas in this. There's a
you did
lot
not go and get it all.
Everything that you have in front of you right there, I went and got.
Yes, I know, but all
pages
the other stuff that we're going to be using is on the computer, and I went and got
night?
It.
Oh, I know.
That's if we can ever get through some of the news. A Miami-Dade charter school got busted. They're
this
in trouble
awesome.
With the district. The Belair Language Academy is an A-rated charter school. They
I
have
think
kindergarten.
It's language.
They're A-rated?
Oh, yeah.
A-rated.
Then we don't speak for them either.
No. They go from kindergarten through middle school.
Right.
During the day, it's a wonderful school. At night, apparently, party flyers have been printed on the web that indicate that the campus hosts raunchy, booze-soaked bashes into the wee hours.
Yes.
Yes.
Like well, rave parties.
One of the flyers showed pictures of scantily clad women posing with champagne bottles.
I saw it.
When the principal was asked if he was aware of the school hosting any of these parties, he said, not that I'm aware of. And they are
liability.
They rent it to a group. They rent it to a group. And parents found, they said, why are there beer bottles in the parking lot here in the morning at my kid's kindergarten? And I would be willing to bet there's things besides beer bottles.
There's an amusement park in Southern California that used to rent its place out to a company, too.
Magic Mountain?
No.
Oh.
No. And
And
they ran they were throwing massive raves and drawing 3,000-4,000 people and you know, underage kids loaded in line waiting to get in and
perfect.
All of a sudden and it kinda all came to an end when a couple 15-year-old girls ended up missing after one of the events and showed up 3 days later at a 7-Eleven.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Does it start with an R?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
An R.
Yeah, never mind.
Oh, no, not that one. I'm sorry. No, it's the city starts with an R, but no, it's...
Oh, the city starts with an R.
No, it's out in Redlands.
So. I don't know that one.
Okay. Anyway.
Okay, let's see. Now,
PK?
Baron...
No, it's not Pharaoh's Kingdom.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay.
Well, way to be anonymous there.
You don't have to be anonymous. It was in all the papers.
Are they even around anymore?
Yeah, they've reopened.
Okay.
Anyway, just to let everybody know, I am seeing this news for the first time, so I may be a little slow off the mark here. Let's see. Well, this is also in.
Okay. We're going to have to do this. Florida times 12.
Okay.
Because there's many of these are from Florida.
Are we almost out of time?
Yeah, almost.
let's see. Colby Wade Cardoso was involved in a crash. He allegedly pulled up to the crash scene, exited his vehicle, then attempted to steal a pickup belonging to a witness to drive away in. But he couldn't start the truck. And in the backseat of the truck was the witness's 5-year-old daughter.
Ah, that'll get you in trouble.
Yes, there's a lovely picture of him actually here on this. Yeah. Maybe he's got a giant head bandage on.
Well, yeah, wait till you see. There's another guy that the story sounds rather innocuous, and it probably won't play as good on the air, but wait till you see the picture of the guy. You look right at him and go, Coke fiend.
This guy looks a little like Massive Head Wound Harry.
Oh, yeah, he does.
When you'll know when it gets to it, because you'll say, Coke fiend.
Okay, let's see. Another Florida story. A Marin County Sheriff's deputy said that a woman at Jensen Beach Causeway was seen pulling down her pants and urinating in public. The woman, who is 47 years old, appeared to be trying to stand up near her truck after the exposure incident. She told the deputies that her pants had fallen down because she lost weight.
Water weight, obviously.
Yeah, they did.
Massive amounts of water weight.
They did. That's what I would say if I was her. Yeah, my pants just fell down.
Well, now, I have, at times, lost enough weight that, yes, my pants were falling down, but pants don't fall down that fast.
There's a better story on that later on. Mark saw the video. It was awesome.
All right. In East Naples, Florida, Corey William Morrell, 27 years old, is accused of knocking his mother unconscious. She got mad. He was practicing martial arts in the house.
Okay.
She got mad, and he gave her a roundhouse kick to the head that knocked her unconscious for 5 minutes.
Beautiful.
Wow. Guy's training for MMA.
Sensei will not be happy.
No, apparently not.
Apparently she's not exactly a cougar. Cougar can't take a hit.
Let's see. A Cal State professor here.
Oh, yeah.
A manhunt is actually underway for the university professor who police say he had a double life as the leader of a motorcycle gang and a meth dealer. He's a kinesiology professor at Cal State San Bernardino, and he leads the local chapter of the Devil's Disciples Motorcycle Club and nice. Its methamphetamine operation.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, you know, with what teachers get paid nowadays, you know, they need to find something to do on the side.
What's the show? There's a show on right now. It's... oh, my God. There's people out there right now going, I know the show where the guy is a teacher and he makes a meth lab. He's a chemistry teacher. And he makes a meth lab on the side because he's going to die.
Is it one of those Mad Men or Breaking Bad or one of those?
Breaking Bad. Okay. That's what it is. Yeah.
He's going to die?
He's going to die, and he wants to make sure his family's taken care of. So he starts making his own meth and selling it on the side to try and help his family. Oh. Because he's a good dad.
Oh. Well. Let's see. A video camera was set up to nab graffiti vandals. Accidentally tapes cops having sex.
That's awesome.
Yes, Santa Fe County in New Mexico. Surveillance camera was set up to try to catch the taggers on public property. And instead, it recorded footage of a uniformed state police officer having sex with a woman.
Tagging a woman? So it kind of caught the tagger.
Yeah, it kind of did catch the tagger, actually. It showed the man in a police uniform standing and leaning over the woman who was lying on the hood of a compact car with her bare legs around his body.
That's an indicator.
Yeah, that's pretty much sex right there.
Unless it's the TSA involved, in which case it's just a frisk.
Yeah, well, maybe they're searching. He's searching her.
He's searching her
from the inside.
Let's see.
For very concealed weapons.
Okay. Ooh, this one doesn't look good. In Delaware, a pediatrician got 14 life sentences for raping his young patients.
Okay. However, this is the hero of the week. Not the guy. Yeah. The courthouse. 14 consecutive life sentences. That guy's never getting out again.
No, thank goodness.
Because
he's eligible for parole in 98 years.
Short of killing the guy, there's nothing more you can do on that. So it's like, you know, this guy's away for good.
So the court is the hero of the week.
Yeah, the court is. Yeah, because he's done. And the guy's a creepy looking guy. He looks like sort of like Jerry Garcia, actually. Imagine Jerry Garcia in like a sports, like a football jacket.
Okay.
Okay, we've already done the next story, but that was like a couple of shows ago.
Well, and so you see, I wasn't sure, so I just went out and grabbed some. They could be like that on other ones, too. Who knows?
See, in Orlando, a robbery suspect identified as William Washington opened the door to his motel room and fired shots at Orlando police officers on Monday night.
They were out there.
They were out there.
and they really were.
Oh, my gosh. And if you look at the picture, yes. Look at that, Mark. Look at that picture of his eyeballs.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. He's completely stoned. He's wired.
First thing you look at, you go, coke fiend. Yeah, he has eyes the size of saucers.
Yeah, dinner plates. They're huge. Okay. He surrendered and was taken for treatment.
Taken for treatment.
Yes.
Yeah.
It looks like a mask.
It does. Did look like a mask.
It looks like a Halloween mask.
Yeah, he was awesome.
We have a therapist that was reprimanded for having sex with an inmate.
Oh, this is classic.
That's a reprimand. That's
what the heck is that? Let's see. A state panel recently reprimanded a former clinical therapist at Arcadia Facility for sexual offenders by having sex with one of the inmates.
Yes.
Oh. Wow.
You're missing a little part of that.
Wait a minute. Leanne Painter of Sebring must pay $4,107 to the Florida Department of Health to cover the cost of the investigation.
That's not the interesting
part. As well as a $1,000 fine. That's it?
That's still not the interesting part.
Okay, then why don't you tell me so I don't have to read all the way down to the end.
The interesting part is how long, because they get this all on security camera.
She only has to complete 24 hours of courses?
A 90-minute to 3-hour session on the floor.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
With the
good for him.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I was going to say, he's almost like the hero. You know what?
Yeah, he's the hero
that
of the week.
That guy should be the hero of the week. He's in for sexual offenses, and he bangs the sex therapist on
for
the
an
ground
hour and
for
a half.
An hour and a half to 3 hours, depending on which, you know,
well,
time
he might have stopped for a smoke in the middle.
Yeah, well, he needed to put himself out. It was more than smoking.
Wow. Let's see. Okay, we're at 16 minutes. We can stop now. That's the end of the boozy news.
I'm going to give us one more.
One more?
One more. Sure, why not?
Uno mas. Por favor.
Okay. In Palmetto, a 20-year-old Palmetto man was arrested Monday after he maliciously molested, opened, broke, injured, damaged, and inserted his body parts into a vending machine at a coin laundry in order to get the money out. Inserted his body parts? It doesn't say which ones.
Yeah, it does, and it doesn't. I'm guessing it's like his hand. But
I hope so, because his nickname isn't Peckerhead, is it?
The way I looked at it when I looked up that story, though,
Pablo Peckerhead.
It said that he sexually molested a machine. But then it said he was trying to get out money, so I can't really see how that would.
His name is Michael Aguiar, and he only got $10 worth of coins out of it. Sheesh. It says right here, the report did not go into detail as to which body parts were used.
Awesome.
Okay, now that's the end of the boozy news. Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio, yeah.
Hi.
Howdy.
Yes.
Shelly.
What?
Hattie. When the clock strikes.
8:30, dear.
There you go. I don't even know if that's right.
I think it is.
Mac the Knife. So. Yeah, Mark's got some topics.
I do.
He does.
I do.
Uh-oh.
I don't remember what they are, but I remember when I heard them, they sounded good.
I was having dinner with some new listeners to our show.
Sweet.
And they, I said, we could use some topics. And boy, they threw a flurry of them at me. And
so many that Mark had to write them down in his phone.
I wrote them down because we don't remember them by the time it's time to do a show.
No.
So I typed them into my phone. And Ira, shout out to Ira.
Ira.
Ira said that he'd like to hear a show on having a sponsor versus being sponsored.
Ooh. Having a sponsor versus being sponsored. Now, how shallst we approach that? Because I could see it in possibly
it, yeah.
A couple of different ways, but
mm-hmm. Well, throw one out there.
Well, one of them would be: are they calling it being sponsored because a guy that actually has a sponsor that actually makes them work, rather than just having one that he ever calls everyone's? Or is it one like the kind of sponsor where you're being sponsored, where the sponsor's like your sponsor, he's like doing everything for you?
No, I think it's more along the lines of
one that makes you work.
Yeah, I have a sponsor. Well, so he says, did you get a sponsor? Yes, I got a sponsor.
I had one of those.
That doesn't necessarily mean you're working on
being
steps.
Sponsored, which is where you're actively engaging with your sponsor.
I can tell you for sure that the way a lot of that happens is due to recovery facilities, whether they be sober living houses or 30-day programs or whatever, or even longer than that, 90 days, 6 months, because they require you get a sponsor.
Right.
And I have seen and have been on the receiving end of going to a meeting and getting a guy. And then not really calling him, but being able to say that he's my sponsor.
Right.
Even though I don't call him or anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I think it came up because I have four guys that I sponsor right now. All four of them have a sponsor. I will tell you, none of them right now are actively being sponsored.
Oh. Wow. You know what? Well, I recently lost one who actually came by today.
You lost him?
My hat's off to him. Because apparently it's working for him just fine.
You
at
lost
the
him?
Moment. Yeah, I found him again.
I congratulate you.
Yeah, if only it would stay that way. But besides him,
if you ever take him again, you deserve what you get.
Yeah,
I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. I have four guys that I'm really actively sponsoring right now. I got one guy that's really in kind of maintenance mode who should probably be doing more. But there's four guys that are actually working. The
right.
guy that left is a guy that really wasn't doing anything anyway.
Right.
He had a sponsor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, right now for me, I have a sponsor. I'm not sure how much I'm really being sponsored right now.
Same here.
Yeah.
Not me.
I talk to my sponsor. I talk to my sponsor on a weekly basis. My sponsor lives in a different state right now. We talk. But I don't know. Not a lot of direction as far as, some practical life direction, but not a whole ton of program direction from him.
Now, I get a lot of that, too, from my sponsor. I get more sort of the everyday, and in not even wanting to say it in this way because it doesn't sound right with sponsors, I get it in more of a, really, really good friend thing, where you'd go to someone that you would trust with your issues of the day. Hey, this is
and they
is
know
going
your background.
On. Yeah. Hey, this is going on and blah, blah, blah. How about you, Shelly? You've been mostly quiet here because we've been chewing up all the time.
Yes, I know.
You being sponsored? Do you have a sponsor?
Well, I'll attack the issue of my sponsees first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
because your sponsor sucks. We don't really want to talk about
it. I have one gal that I'm... the temporary sponsor for. She's new in the program, And I pretty much threw my business card at her and said, call me every day and start reading the book. So she's in the, you know, this is the first week, and she's done what I asked her to do.
You're sponsoring her.
Yeah.
Right.
Is this attempt at perm job?
Probably.
Okay.
She just wasn't sure what she wanted to do, and I said, well, until you decide, here's what you do. I didn't really give her a choice. I don't know if you're supposed to do that, but at that moment, I was kind of like, I don't care what you want.
Kind of old school.
She said in the meeting, she said she didn't have a sponsor, so there I am.
I heard her say outside the meeting that she would do whatever you told her to do.
Well, and she is so far. It's only been 5 days, but
it seems like that's the way to make it work.
That's right.
There's another gal, though, that is not even in the program anymore that I was sponsoring that has gone out.
Oh, my.
And she's calling me all the time, asking me questions about, you know, what should I do, like direction type of questions. And I feel like I'm about to tell her, you're not in the program. You're not working the steps. I am not sponsoring you. I am not going to be spending hours of time doing this.
You know what your answer to that question is?
What?
Go to a meeting and then hang up.
I have told her that.
And then hang up.
Let me ask you this, because I have a question involved with that. Hmm. Because I know exactly what's going on there, what's being talked about. What if the person says to you, I know I'm not in the program right now, but I can't be your friend?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I've thought about that because I'm not sure. First of all, this isn't somebody that I would necessarily hang out with. Like, if we were normies, I might not necessarily hang out with her. I don't know. I have a problem. I'm having a problem getting to know her. And I've known her for a while.
Right.
Which is weird. On the other hand, it's kind of a, for me, it's kind of a moot point because it's like, I don't know. It's kind of a moot point. If she doesn't want to work any steps and she doesn't want to do the program, but she still wants me to tell her what to do, it's like, I'm not a relationship counselor. I'm not a therapist.
Is this one of those things that get rid of your old friends? I happened to bring that up to someone today because he said, well, can't she be her friend? And I said, I don't know, what I tell you to do with all your old friends? He said, get rid of them. I go, why? And he goes, because they tend to get loaded when I'm around them. I go, why would that be any different for anyone else? I don't know. I was just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens with that. But, I mean, in terms of me being sponsored, I am actually being actively sponsored. I call my sponsor every week. We try to meet once a week. We're actually going over some writing on Friday.
Hell, I meet with your sponsor once a week. She goes to a meeting we go to.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, I meet with her outside of the meeting.
That's a cop-out one.
No, I meet with her outside.
That's an easy one.
I meet with her outside of a meeting.
I meet with her outside of a meeting, too. She goes to coffee on that same night. It's awesome. Every week.
I meet with her outside of the meeting for the express purpose of working steps.
Okay.
Oh.
Jeez.
Bruce is out of his mind.
Go back to bed.
I just don't know when that is.
What, going back to bed?
No, Sarah's going to say I'm picking on you.
Yes, you are.
She's going
to
say that.
I have to say, out of all the people I sponsor, and probably all the people I ever have sponsored, there's one I was friends with, and he died sober. And there's one right now that I maybe could be friends with. But guys that I sponsor, I am not your friend. I'm not your guy to hang out with.
I'm friends with most of my sponsees.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, but I'm not. That's not my role.
Yeah, but can't, I mean, without getting too far off the subject line about sponsored or having a sponsor, being sponsored, when you spend that much time and get that much into someone's, I mean, clearly you and your sponsor are friends.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, when does that change? Because like we say, oh, well, it's not my job to be your friend, but then we end up being friends with them anyway.
Well, interestingly enough, I just thought about it. The one that I was absolutely friends with had about 7-8 years of sobriety.
So you kind of grow into that.
When guys get 6 months to a year and then go out, there isn't a friendship that's developed in that time.
Yeah, it's tough.
And I'm not friends with people who are out there.
Yeah, it's tough that way.
You know, I mean, if I'm friends with people that are out there, they've always been out there and they've got nothing to do with this program.
Yeah.
And there's another different relationship I have with them.
And you know what? Looking on the converse side of this, I have been the guy where someone said, I have a sponsor. I've gone and spoke at ARC, which is a place out here. Speak. I get seven guys after I speak come up and ask me to sponsor them. Great. Call me every day for a week.
Yeah.
Maybe one does.
Yeah.
But I know as I give my card to each person that's asking that they're going to their caseworkers and, yes, I got a sponsor. Here he is.
Yeah.
This is him. Now, they don't ever do anything, but I have filled the requirement that they had, which isn't really good.
So, do you find that, how many of your sponsees do you feel are being sponsored compared to have a sponsor?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
How many?
It would be, for sure it would be.
Two, maybe three.
At least three. Well, I've only got five
total.
One of them is more in maintenance mode. The other one who I saw today also is sort of in maintenance mode as well. He's
doing pretty darn good.
No, he's doing well, yeah. I mean, he's done everything I've told him to do.
Yeah.
Even begrudgingly, but he's done it. And then I have another couple of guys that are working on a lot of things. I got two guys on inventory right now. I've got another guy that's back at step one again, and then I've got, like I said, the maintenance guys. The maintenance guys are kind of more like almost like they have a sponsor. You know.
Do you reach that point in your sobriety where you have a sponsor, and what's considered to be being actively sponsored? Do you develop a relationship with your sponsor eventually where you're being sponsored just by the course of conversation with them?
That might be.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's true the first year.
No.
I think the first year you need some good orderly direction.
Yes. Agreed. What do you think, Shelley?
I've gone through phases in the last 4.5 years where it was more of a conversational thing. Like I would call her to check in and we'd chat a little bit and, you know, in terms of the steps, what should I do about this, this, and this? And then I have other phases where I'm actively writing. I mean, it depends on where I am emotionally and in my sobriety. I mean, what do I want to achieve in terms of my recovery?
Yep.
And, you know, the whole more will be revealed thing, sometimes things come up and I'm like, okay, this is really bugging me. I need to write about this. I got a caller. And then I get into action and I do the work. But then other times I don't need quite that much hand-holding. Yep. The first year, like you said, I mean, I called her all the time. And I did pretty much exactly what she suggested. She never told me I had to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
She always suggested things in that tone of voice that was like, I suggest you do this, and if you don't, you're really stupid. You know, that kind of tone.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it, and it worked out. So I kept doing, every time I would do something that she told me to do, it worked out, so I would do the next thing. Because she didn't ever get me to a point where anything she suggested I did didn't work out.
Right.
And everything that she told me to do was based on some aspect of the steps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a lot of direction that we give as sponsors that have to do with the steps but aren't directly working a step.
Right. You know. Like some aspects of making amends or just the one thing that sticks in my head all the time, because it was the first thing that I did that actually worked, affected a change inside me that I noticed, was when I was mad at Bruce once and I called her and I was crying and I was all upset and everything. It was early in the morning. And and she told me that I should go and do something nice for him. And
yeah,
I was
that's
flabbergasted.
Worked out really, really,
yeah,
really,
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 really
well
for Bruce.
No problem. I'll put him out of his misery and I'll slit his throat.
Oh, that's about to end, though. So, you know, because she asked me to do something nice for him and I was completely flabbergasted. I'm like, how the heck is that supposed to do anything? But doing that actually made the resentment kind of go away.
Uh-huh.
And
if you want it to keep gone,
you should just do things for him all day.
Yeah, if you continue
with
that.
Because of that one resentment and what she suggested, he has gotten breakfast in bed almost every single morning for 4 years. But that's about to end because I'm going back to work.
Throwing a box of Frosted Flakes at him doesn't count.
It's not a box. I put it in the bowl. I put milk in. Sometimes I cook for him.
Oh, if you put it in a bowl, that's good. If you just, like, fling the Frosted Flakes at him, it makes sleeping really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's true.
There's a lot of flakes in the bed.
Yeah. And you pour a little milk over his head and say, enjoy your breakfast, dear.
I didn't remember that. Thank you.
So,
Yes.
It's tough because since you just said something.
What?
But if you were going to give your final words on being sponsored or having a sponsor, what would that be? Mark's been working on this since early today, so he'll have a zinger.
I'm ready.
I don't know. I think it's absolute crap if you come into the program and get a sponsor because everybody says get a sponsor and then don't take any of their suggestions and don't do any of the work. You don't have a sponsor. You have a person that you call a sponsor who really isn't any kind of force for good in your life or anything. You're not utilizing a tool of the program. So what's the point?
Are these the sponsees you're looking for?
And if you have a sponsor and you want to be sponsored, then you actually have to do the work. I mean, it's not rocket science. This is not none of the stuff that we do is complicated in the program. None of it.
No.
So it's pretty simple. If you have a sponsor, be sponsored.
Sweet. How about you, Mark?
People who are young in sobriety that have a sponsor will always be young in sobriety and will always have a sponsor until they decide to be sponsored.
Ooh.
I hate it when he works on those things.
That's a good one. I'm not convinced he, Mark's been around for a while. I'm not convinced that he necessarily plans those out that far ahead. He just has one. It just rolls off the tongue, and it sounds good.
Well, I have the advantage of I've got about 30 to 45 seconds because you go to Shelley first to get her final thoughts. So right about the time I started thinking, okay, what are mine?
Yeah, but you know what? I do that. I ask her when it's hers and you. And by the time it gets to me, I still don't have one. So
that's because you're too busy talking.
Yeah. It's because you forgot.
I have Steffer from CRS.
Bruce, your final words.
My final words are that I have been a sponsor, and I have sponsored people. I've done them both, and I have done the same thing with other people. When I was in recovery homes, I got sponsors because that was what was required. I can't say as I really did it because that's what I felt I needed to do, which is the reason why I never stayed clean and sober in those times. Shelley. Look at that. No acknowledgement. Do you know
he's looking right at you.
I know, but they can't see that on the air. It's a visual.
Everybody just assumes Shelley is attentive.
Yeah.
And you and I are ADHD.
Yeah. And OCD as well. Shelley, who are our friends back east? You talk to him.
Our very soggy friend back east.
But pretty much.
Yeah, he's sandbagging pretty hard. They were talking on the news this morning that pretty much all of Pennsylvania is underwater.
You talked to Bruce?
Yeah, I did for the first time. And he's now my friend on Facebook.
Oh, cool.
It was very exciting.
Yeah.
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com!
It is a fine publication. You can read it online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe, and he will send it to you in the post if you're not in any big rush.
Sweet.
Post office is about to go bankrupt anyway, so, you know.
I heard they were going to stop
Saturday delivery.
Yeah, stop Saturday delivery.
You know what's really something? Can you imagine when we're sitting around, and we're, like, older even than Bruce is now?
Yeah, you're already there.
And we're sitting around. Our grandkids are like sitting in the living room, and it's raining outside, and we're watching TV. And they're going, I remember back in the day when they used to bring your mail to your house, and you used to have to put a stamp on it, and all those things. Your grandkids
Saturday.
Will be looking at you like you're out of your gourd.
That's like, it's just like the milkman. Nobody remember anybody that's younger than like 30 doesn't remember having a milkman.
Uh huh.
I got to admit, when I was very, very young, I don't remember the milkman per se, but I remember that there was a thing with milk, but not much.
Oh, we had a milkman when I was young.
We had a milkman.
Yeah.
Looked a lot like my brother.
Yeah. I was going to say, when I was really, really young, like in the mid-60s, it seems when my dad worked at this one place down here that we might have had a milkman, but I'll tell you what, it wasn't much after that.
We had the Helms Bakery bread guy.
Oh.
Those
there
long
was,
trays.
There was the egg ranch. There used to be an egg ranch right down off Cypress.
Oh, yeah.
And actually out where Shelley lived in Ranch Cucamonga, the building is still there. I'm certain they don't do eggs anymore, but it was a pretty big building. It's like off of Archibald. Or no, not off Archibald, off
because we had
Vineyard.
We had the milkman. We had the
egg and butter man.
The egg and butter man. You had the Helms dare or bread man.
Yeah,
you had the Fuller brush man who stopped by every once in a while.
CBD and brushes. Brush.
I think
product.
I may have seen a Fuller brush man once.
Yeah.
About the only thing we have these days is the ice cream man.
And we all go running after
the ice cream
run.
Man.
If you listened a few shows ago.
Yeah, Sarah was very jealous of that. She's like, how come the ice cream man never comes when I'm there?
Yep.
So because anyway. You come at night, Sarah.
By the way, for those who listened to that show, how many minutes did you cut out of that where we ran out and caught the ice cream man and got ice cream?
I cut out about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, where were we? We were on Bruce the Other Way. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can get the 12-Step Gazette in your little burg.
Sweet.
And I am working on a story for him, unfortunately it's now morphed into two stories, so I'm not sure which direction I'm going.
Shelley is a fantastic writer. If you've ever seen any of the posts that she does on her page on Facebook, you will get a brief and tiny glimpse into the mind that is.
A glimmer?
A very frightening glimpse.
Once Upon a Mind. That used to be my comic strip. I used to do a comic strip called Once Upon a Mind. Mark.
Yes.
Who is our friends online?
That would be In the Rooms at intherooms.com.
.com.
You can go to our site, recovery101.net, and go down and... Bruce has gone round the bend.
He's tired.
Yeah, I know.
I am.
Anyway, you can go down and you can click on the link. You can go to intherooms.com. It's kind of an online Facebook of recovery. You can put up a profile. You can enter the A of your choice. You can go to Friends of Recovery 101, our embedded player, and you can listen to our show while you search the site. They have speaker tapes. They have chat rooms. They have online meetings. It is absolutely positively free, and there are how many years of sobriety probably on the site?
Now it's
250,000.
Yeah, more than that.
Like that.
Yeah, a little bit of sobriety there,
probably
folks.
300,000 now.
Go check it out.
Sweet. We've got email address. Oh, don't forget, Recovery Idol. We've had some contact from some people that are working on some things. We've actually had a submission that if you heard the last couple of shows, or you know, we've had it used. Brandon sent in one. Anyway, you can email. We want those to be 30 to 60 seconds long. They need to say Recovery 101 in them. You can listen to a couple of the ones in the past and get an idea of, you know, of the type of stuff we've used before. See what you think. Send it in 30 to 60 seconds.
We need something hip hop.
And you could send it. You could send it in. Oh, go ahead, Michelle.
I actually don't think that they should listen to the ones we've had before. I think that they should come up with a whole new all on their own, because we don't adhere to any style.
Yeah. No. But I mean, to get an idea of like how maybe to incorporate the name. I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, just to give themselves some inspiration.
Start a new line.
It might be inspiration of what not to do.
How do I incorporate a new line? Start a new line.
Yeah, write a new one.
Yeah.
You can send those to recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com, recovery101radio@hotmail.com. You can join the crack staff. That's right, the crack staff, our crack advertising staff. You can send us an email at recovery_101. Wait a minute. See, I blew it. recovery101radiosales@gmail.com.
.com.
Wow. Oh, we've got videos at youtube.com/easylook, youtube.com/recovery101, rule 62.
Don't take yourself so damn serious.
Because we sure as hell don't. Shelly?
Yes?
Do we have a band of the month?
We do have a band of the month, but actually what we're going to do tonight, instead of lead-out music, we have an interview and some new music snippets with our lead-out band, with our band of the month.
Yes, we
do. 8 Days Clean.
And it's very cool. It's got a bunch of stuff in it.
So hang around and listen to that.
They just played the NA World Convention.
Yeah,
recently.
They did. Thousands of people.
I heard they did a bang-up job. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Sure you've got it by now. 8 Days Clean is four guys who share similar tastes in dirty women.
Hard rock.
Hard drugs.
Hard alcohol.
And we don't do the drugs and alcohol anymore.
Does that sound arrogant?
I like the fins of your hands across my skin. I like the feelings of your fingertips digging within. You're just another reminder of...
little bit of my life is, you know, I ended up from time to time homeless, living in a truck, drug addicted, had pretty much made up my mind that I was going to die a drug addict.
When I was out there in active addiction, I made a very clear path of destruction with all my relationships, with all my jobs, all my finances, broken trust, broken hearts, family. If it was near me, I broke it.
I just had to keep getting loaded. There was no way around it, you know. In order to feel like a normal person, I had to get high.
Hopeless, restless, irritable, and discontent. Just hopeless. We've been together since 2005.
Success for the band, definitely. We came out of a grassroots thing, and it wasn't easy.
Because right off the bat, mainstream rock and roll in the clubs, the venues, just assume they're not going to be able to sell any alcohol because we're going to come in there with some kind of religious message.
Oh, that's what you guys are about.
That's not it at all.
The four of us being in recovery,
we're not really a recovery band. I don't know what a recovery band is. I definitely don't know what recovery music sounds like.
Seriously.
We're four guys in recovery in a band.
8 Days Clean is a hard rock band in recovery.
Our music is definitely not recovery music, whatever that's supposed to mean.
Every bit of it.
Yes, it is!
Didn't really have real solid ideas when we went into the studio, and by sitting there and just kind of beating it out, they developed into some solid ideas.
If I told you that I'd never lie, would you still hate me?
Ron gave me a lot of room to embellish.
We really wanted to push ourselves with the songs on this album. We wanted to be a little different.
Could you ever trust?
I like to write with a little bit of a darker style. Not, you know, all the happy, flowery stuff in life, because that doesn't motivate me to create. I like the darker stuff.
Making love is our solution. Everything will work out.
Being on tour with 8 Days Clean involves a lot of hard work.
We really focus on the visual. Because, I mean, if you look at it, it's like you're going to see a band. You're going to see a band, right?
We don't just get up there with a light bulb and start playing. Every show that we do, it's not just a performance, it's a show.